There's some different things about today. It's not the second Sunday of the month. And the snow is not flying. And Paula is not here today. And she sends her regrets that she's not able to be here today. She is in Westminster, Mass. Our daughter and son-in-law had to go to a wedding in upstate New York. And our little two-year-old Rowan and our little five-year-old Callahan were insistent that they could take care of themselves. But I guess the powers that be said, no, that's not going to happen. So she's with them. And, you know, her love for them at this point in time, anyways, is just a little bit of an edge, okay? So. And another difference is that I stand before you in a different capacity than I have before. And I am humbled and I am honored that you've invited me into your church family. Not just me, but Paula and I. And we anticipate how God is going to bless our union for the time that he affords us together. And I do believe we've got great blessings ahead and am looking forward to that. I've already, begun working a bit with your elders, and my impression is that God has raised up among you some very godly men, and we can be grateful to God for these leaders. We really can. And I look forward to working with them, co-laboring with them, and rolling up my sleeves and working with you. I've got to look at my schedule about next Saturday. So. Well, I wonder if we want to turn to God's Word at this point. I'd like us to look at Psalm 125. So if you've got your Bible, I invite you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 125. If you're using another means to connect with God's Word, whatever it might be, your phone or whatever, let's do that. But together, let's look at what God says in Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. For then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. I want us to talk in just a few moments about something that touches every single one of our lives. Something that is, I think, the topic of this psalm. And that is the issue of security. Let's pray. You are the rock of all ages. You are our security. Great God, Heavenly Father, by reason of your Holy Spirit, make this word live. May it ring in our ears, find a place in our hearts. Might it, in fact, illumine our minds that we might become more like Jesus. Do this, we ask, even now at this time among us. In his precious name, amen. Psalm 125 is part of the section of Psalms that's commonly referred to as the Songs of Ascent. This section includes Psalms 120 through Psalm 134. It's very likely that these Psalms were sung even by Ezra and those who returned with him from exile. And these psalms were also sung three times each year for Passover, for Pentecost, and for the Feast of Tabernacles, as the pilgrims from all over the land, and even those from beyond who were known as the diaspora, would gather about maybe a day's journey short of Jerusalem and ascend together singing these psalms as they approached the holy city. Psalm 125, the one that we just read, was probably the one that they'd sing when Mount Zion first came into view, surrounded by the hills on every side. The psalm is about security. Security was an important issue. It was a real felt need in the lives of those who returned from their exile. These pilgrims returning were vulnerable to the enemies all around who resented them reclaiming their land. Even today, Israel is faced with this same problem, with enemies surrounding it and resentful that they have taken back their land. But in Psalm 125, God gave these pilgrims a word picture of his unshakable and his rock-solid protection over them in the mountains that surrounded Mount Zion. Security is important to us, to you and I, just as it was for the Old Testament Hebrews. Let's use this as a working definition for security, if we could, this morning. Security is a sense of freedom from fear of danger, doubt, or care. Security is a sense of freedom from fear of danger, doubt, or care. I think that's a working definition that we'll find helpful as we proceed. We, you and I, today live in an uncertain and a very insecure world. Nations are tense. Family structure is in upheaval. Leadership and authority is suspect. It seems at times that the whole social fabric of our lives is unraveling. And nature is frightening in its powerful outbursts. We spend billions of dollars, and we make unimaginable effort to gain some sense of security in the midst of all this. Consider the cost of our national defense. Consider the cost out of your own pocket for insurances, home, health, car. Consider the protective devices that we've invented and we've designed, alarm systems in our homes, and even firewalls in our computers. We really want security. But for all the money that we spend, for all the effort that we make, we can't eliminate insecurity. We can't make our lives foolproof safe, can we? The greatest threat to our security is the unknown. The unknowns stalk us, it seems, something like a villain or a ghoul in a horror movie. And when the unknowns crawl out of the crevices and the corners and the shadows of our lives, what do? Maybe the villain, the ghoul, is a financial problem. Perhaps it's hit you unexpectedly, or maybe you've seen it coming for some time. Perhaps it's a relational issue. Maybe it's a surprise to you. Maybe it's not. Or it might be a health matter that you learned about on the most recent visit to your doctor. Or is it a crisis of faith? What is it, this villain, this unknown that suddenly has appeared in your life? The Hebrews are our spiritual forebears. So I suggest that we learn something from what God taught them when he gave them what we now know as Psalm 125. How do we respond when insecurity overtakes us? Subtly, or maybe not so subtly, we seek haven in the wrong sources. Maybe a place. Maybe our home. But my friends, that's an inadequate source for our security. Maybe it's in our possessions, including our jobs. What do we say? We say, I have a job. Doesn't that sound like a possession? And how often do we place our security in our jobs? Or maybe it's other possessions like money, maybe guns that we've got for protection's sake. But our possessions are an inadequate source for our security. Maybe it's people, our spouse, our friends, our colleagues, our leaders, those that are about us and are willing to support us, encourage us, aid us as we need it. But people, no matter who they are not an adequate source for our security. Maybe it's permanence. You know, everything remaining as it is, the status quo, no changes. Don't rock the boat. I'm comfortable right now. I've become accustomed to the way things are. Friends, permanence is not an adequate source for our security. Now, the Hebrews are referred to here in this psalm, if you'll note it. In verse 1 is those who trust in the Lord. In verse 3 is the righteous. And in verse 4, those who do good. But I'm interested in what the psalmist says about them. He says they are like Mount Zion. Do you see it in verse 1? They're like Mount Zion. Unconditionally, rock solid, formidable, stable, unshakable. That's who these Hebrews are as they ascend to the holy city, returning from exile, going to a feast. Why? Why are they like Mount Zion? The text tells us it's because they trust in God. Regardless of the circumstances in their lives, regardless of any crisis that they're facing at the moment, they have become people of principle, unmovable, unshakable, unchanging, like the Lord, who the scripture tells us is the same yesterday, today, and forever, in Hebrews 13:8. These people cannot be shaken off their foundation, cannot be shaken from their purpose, or their intentions, or their goals, or their core values. They see the encircling protection of the Lord God in these mountains that surround Mount Zion. And it is enough to anchor them. It is enough to assure them and give them the certainty that all of us desire to have in life. A freedom from fear, of danger, doubt, or care. Now, how can that be? When life truly is so fragile and so tenuous, what does it take for security? I suggest to you three things. The first is an explanation of reality. You know, it's when we can't understand what's going on about us that we become anxious. We become restless, we become worried, we become insecure. But if we have an explanation about the reality that's before us, we're a whole lot more at ease, aren't we? In a word, an explanation of reality is truth. Truth. And you know, it's one thing to have trust, but our trust needs to be based upon truth, doesn't it? The second thing we need, if we're going to have a sense of security, is an assurance of goodwill. That in all of this, our best interests are kept in mind. This is not, what's happening is not to our harm or our detriment. Assurance of goodwill. In a word, that's love, isn't it? That's love. And the third thing we need for a sense of security to actually have its place in our life, be embedded in our hearts and our thinking, is the ability to protect and provide for us. In a word, that's power. Power. And there's only one person in all of history and even in all eternity that can be described as the whole truth, as unconditional love, and as consummate power. And that's the one that the Hebrews expected as Messiah and didn't recognize when he came. It's the one we know as Jesus. This person, this God-man, who in fact is the whole truth, unconditional love, and consummate power, makes a promise in this psalm. In verse 3, do you notice it says, "The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land." Now that doesn't mean that problems won't arise. It doesn't mean that bad things won't occur. The key word here is remain. The scepter of the wicked will not remain. A big part of the good news that I have for the people of God this morning, those who trust in the Lord, those who are righteous, those who do good, those who follow Jesus, is this: all evil is temporary. I can't think of more wonderful news than that. What a perspective it gives us. All evil is temporary. The final word that God will do as we pray is found in verse 4. For those who are upright in heart. The final word is that God will meet our need. Do good, the prayer is. Do you see it there? Do good, O Lord, to those who are upright in heart. What's the importance of security? Well, friends, it is one of the two basic human needs that we have. Security. We all need it. We all yearn for it. Incidentally, the second is significance. We all want some measure of significance. We all want to count for somebody. To somebody. But we're talking about security. Maslow, remember his hierarchy of needs? It's all about security. And how we'll not attain our potential if we feel insecure. To be insecure is to lose our freedom to be ourselves. we become guarded in our relationships, even fearful. We build man-made walls, and we hide ourselves behind them, rather than becoming, as the Hebrews are described here, like Mount Zion. We become timid, we become leery, we become distant, or worse than that, we bluster with a false bravado, and we rely upon our own resources to face the uncertainties. That's what verse 3b here refers to when it speaks about using our hands to do iniquity. It's talking about the righteous. You see, if we don't trust God and we don't understand or accept his promise, then we have to take things into our own hands. And we do so at the sake of losing our security. But the alternative for us is to trust God, as verse 1 says. It is to pray, as verse 4 encourages us to do. Do good, Lord, to those who are upright in heart. And leave the fate of the formidable forces in our lives to him. Because that's what verse 5 says. Leave the fate of the formidable forces to the Lord. This psalm about security has got so much to teach us. Us who might be threatened, us who might be facing uncertainties of one sort or another, us who may be feeling hurt for a reason or another, individuals like yourself and me encountering change in our lives. But it applies as well, I want to suggest to you, to the church family that's in the midst of transition. Transitions make us especially vulnerable to insecurity. So the word for us as a church family is to be like the Hebrews, continuing to trust and even maybe upping the ante of trust in this person, this God-man, this Lord of life, this King of kings, Jesus, who can deliver us from fear of danger, doubt, or care. He's the only one that can get us through turbulent times. His protection is like the mountains encircling the holy city, Mount Zion. The end result of knowing this, again, is freedom from fear of danger, doubt, and care. And that end result was, then, peace upon Israel. And for us today, peace upon us. The fruit, I suggest, the fruit of security. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that we can trust you, that you are faithful in all your ways toward us, that you have our best interests in mind, and that through your activity in our lives, you bring glory and honor to yourself, as well as help to us. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the whole truth. Thank you for being unconditional love. Thank you for being consummate power. You can fulfill every promise you've made to us. No transition, no villain, such as financial problems, or relational problems, or health issues, or even crisis of faith can separate us from you. That makes us feel genuinely, thoroughly secure. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.